everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the Unholy and Holy Uninformed Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing great. Hello.
I'm also pleased to say, Daniel, we have one of my favorite people on the planet as a guest today, the one and only Brady.
What's up?
Of course, Brady, I outed your real last name there. I'm not sure if you want that.
I was like, you straight up, you know, codified your names there. And you're like, we'll go ahead and give his last name away. Do you want to give him my address?
Which is weird because he doesn't even use my correct personal cell phone number. Correct initial.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Well, T rhymes with B. Yeah. And also your gamer tag is Daniel T. Lynn. So that anyone you piss off online can find all of your information. But don't worry, Brady. I'll bleep your last name.
No, it's yeah. Bleeping would be good, I think.
Brady, you, as I recall, are somewhat of an Elvis fan. Our Amazing Grace today, recorded by the one and only, the King, the Diet Michael Jackson, Elvis. Isn't that something people call him, Diet MJ?
Diet MJ.
I'm relatively certain, yeah.
They definitely enjoyed similar activities, I think. I think if we went pound for pound.
I'm not sure what you're insinuating there, Daniel.
Well, saying you like young ladies, but we can move on.
and MJ did marry Elvis's daughter, so, you know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that whole chapter.
Yeah. Fun, exciting piece of Michael Jackson history, where he married Elvis's daughter. After all the little boy stuff.
Isn't it great to be a human?
It is.
Speaking of little boy stuff, this chapter today, I feel like, warrants somewhat of a warning. The Bible, the Old Testament, gets bloody and messy, and we're also insensitive idiots who don't know how to handle sensitive subjects. But this one definitely has some extreme violence, some sexual violence. And we're going to be reading it off the page and also talking about it like idiots. So if you're sensitive to that sort of thing, which is understandable, maybe go ahead and turn this sucker off.
The good thing is most people turn it off anyway, so that's good.
Well, I think our listenership, Brady, if you're unaware, is maybe some of our friends sometimes and our girlfriends for the first 5 minutes of each episode.
Listen, I like to think that you guys are going to get the Brady Ness bump. So, I mean, maybe 2 to 3 more listeners just by my very appearance on this podcast. So,
I fully expect you to double our listenership over these next few episodes.
That's one of my major goals. Yeah.
Shall we go ahead and get into this chapter since it is oh so juicy?
Yeah, let's do it.
You guys shouldn't describe it as juicy. I'm already being insensitive here. I warned you.
Let's just say it's all oh so bloody.
Yes.
I know I read last week. So, Daniel, do you want to take it away? Or Brady, do you want to read some? We usually don't have guests these days.
Yeah, we've done it multiple ways, we guess. But also, you know, I guess maybe it's guest choice. I'm ready to go if...
I mean, I'd be happy to read some of this, and going with the gusto of just jumping into the deep end on some of these names like Shechem. I hope that's okay, and I hope accuracy is not fully required.
Well, you've already nailed it much better than we usually do. We might bring you in as a consultant on names if you're going to keep doing that good a job.
Yeah.
We're like we're kind of like a bent rifle on that end. Maybe a bent blunderbuss.
Well,
why don't we take it like five verses at a time? We can.
Oh, yeah, know, yeah.
Take turns.
Yeah. You want me to do the first five?
Yes, please.
I'd love to jump into this. All right. A reading from Genesis chapter 34, verses 1 through 5. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and raped her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Get me this girl as my wife." When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with his livestock. So he did nothing about it until they came home.
It's a weird, that's a weird, like...
Thus ends the verses 1 through 5.
Just opens up hot.
Right off the bat, it's they're coming in
hot, swimming. Daniel, what do you mean?
Like hot, like, no. like, you know, it's just like coming in hot. Like, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I feel you.
That's wild. So, I forget what city they're in. That's, and maybe that doesn't matter, but like he moved to this city because he wanted to be away from Esau, who did nothing but be kind to him. But essentially he kind of snuck off to this city to be safe, and then this is the first thing that happens.
So Shechem has a dad named Hamor.
Well, one of the great biblical names. Underrated.
Seems like he's got to be powerful.
His name is Hamor, yeah.
And so his move is first he rapes her, and then he says, hey, will you get me her as my wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he's going to go make a deal. So he's like going to go to Jacob and cut a deal with him, which is normal so far in the Bible.
But we haven't had a lot of instances of rape. The closest we've come to it that I remember is in Sodom is the servants of Abraham being worried that everyone in Sodom was going to try to rape the angels.
Mm. Well, I think from memory, Brady, I think what happened was they literally said, open the door so we can have sex with them.
Nice. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Listen, I just want,
that was a good chat.
As a preface to this, I just want to say it's probably been over 10 years since I've actually read any of the Bible. So listening to you guys talk about it, and then this being the first chapter that I picked up in 10 years, I was like, what the hell is going on? I have no recollection of any of this.
I remember my dad telling me this story out of context, maybe when I asked about circumcision when I was like 12 or 13, and he was like, this is one of the instances he brought up, which is a little bit of a spoiler, so let's
keep
moving.
Yeah, definitely a spoiler. Yeah. This train just keeps on rolling. Yeah.
All right, well, I can pick up at verse 6 here on chapter 34. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk to Jacob. Meanwhile, Jacob's sons had come in from the fields as soon as they heard what had happened. They were shocked and furious because Shechem had done an outrageous thing in Israel by sleeping with Jacob's daughter. It's not what they said. A thing that that should not be done. But Hamor said to them, my son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife.
Please.
yeah. What a diplomat.
Just ask really nicely. Yeah, please.
Throw a please in there.
He wants it. Please.
Intermarry with us. Give us your daughters and take our daughters for yourselves. Okay, so this is a kind of an old classic Bible thing where you do one, you kind of have to marry off one daughter, you're going to try to marry off all the daughters. It's like try to get a package deal.
Sure, yeah. That's smart.
Jacob did this himself by marrying multiple, pretty much two sisters.
I mean, exactly, yeah. Two sisters.
Yeah.
Wait, did you go through 10?
Yeah, I went through 10. I can continue if we want.
No, you didn't. You didn't go through 10.
Oh, I didn't go through 10. Okay, that's where I messed up. Okay, verse 10. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it.
It's so hard to nitpick. I mean, I don't want to get bogged down, and like, I want to mention it's weird that, you know, Jacob was just like, I'm just going to chill until my sons get out of the fields. But that seems like a minor thing compared to everything else that's going on.
Maybe, I don't know, I guess maybe like the sons are the enforcers here, maybe.
I guess Jacob's probably still tired from wrestling with God.
Well, it takes it out of you, I'd imagine. He's a little sleepy. He needs his boys to help him out. They're working hard with the livestock in the field. They're strapping young lads.
But so Hamor is here.
It's let's make a deal, right?
Us. Like, he just means his whole clan. He doesn't have his sons there yet.
Yeah, it seems to be just Hamor meeting with Jacob. And then Jacob's sons show up at some point.
All right. Well, I'm going to pick it up with verse 11. Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers, let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride and the gift I am to bring as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask me. Only give me the young woman as my wife. Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. They said to them, "We can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who is not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us."
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
"We will enter into an agreement with you on one condition only, that you become like us by circumcising all your males."
I mean, as a negotiating tactic, it's a pretty strong position to take, I would imagine.
I don't know how much you guys have experience with late-in-life circumcision, but my grandfather told me a story about how he was in the Marine Corps, and he had a day to, he could either do, like, all-day swimming training, or maybe it was several days of, like, Marine, like, field day of swimming in the ocean. Or, if you weren't circumcised, you could go and get circumcised instead and then take a couple days off. And he was like, "Well, I'm just going to go get circumcised." And
how was that an option?
Well, because, you know, it requires less maintenance out in the battlefield. You know, it's preferable to be circumcised if you're in the military. So he decided to do that, and he said it was an awful, terrible mistake.
Yeah, it doesn't seem great.
So I imagine, especially if you're coming from a tribe and you've never seen circumcised people before, they just kind of look mutilated.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess the tools back then maybe weren't as, let's say clean cutting.
Yeah, don't imagine there were a lot of like scalpels back in the day. It seems like a rock with a sharp edge was like your best option, right? Yeah.
Maybe tea.
So from that moment on, Adam, was every male in your family circumcised at birth?
You know, I've never taken a look at all my cousins. But I'll be sure to ask him at the next family reunion there. Brady, do you want to pick up with verse 16?
Yeah, let's pick 16. "Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we'll take our sister and go." Their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem, the young man who was the most honored of all his family. Of all his father's family, lost no time in doing what they said, because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter.
Yeah, he sounds like someone who should be the most honored. He's clearly a good dude.
Yeah. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the gate of their city to speak to the men of their city.
Oh boy, that's a hard speech to make.
Listen, we gotta sell this to you guys. It's a great idea.
It's like, listen, Shechem is a terrible man.
We've got teeth and sharp rocks.
Because of that. What were you going to say, Adam?
I was going to say, we do know that there is alcohol, because Noah got real drunky pie.
And it still seems prevalent, and not against the rules yet. Well, I take that back. It may have never been against the rules. That may just be a modern day change-up. I mean, we all know about the Catholics, right? Am I right, guys?
yeah,
sure, Daniel.
Those crazy drinking Catholics.
Yeah, over there drinking up all the wines. I'm just gonna pick up on verse 21.
Thank you.
21. "These men are friendly toward us," they said. "Let them live in our land and trade in it. The land has plenty of room for them. We can marry their daughters and they can marry ours. But the men will agree to live with us as one people, only on the condition that our males be circumcised as they themselves are. Won't their livestock, their property, and all of their animals become ours? So let us agree to their terms, and they will settle among us." All the men who went out to the city gates agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain,
I imagine, yeah. You would think it'd probably take a few days to recover.
Yeah, at least three.
At least three.
As all of them were still suffering from brutal infections and possible amputations.
3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male.
Nice.
Whoa. Not just Shechem, but killing every male.
All of them. Well, hold. Annihilated them.
We've talked a lot about making Bible movies, and this is the scene I most want to see so far. Just a bunch of like limping, like
guys with
like, everyone's real tender,
like red spots over their crotches on their robes, holding the peepees, and then just a bloodbath.
it's just three people.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I guess
we don't know how many brothers Dinah has.
Well, it said two. Well, only two of Jacob's sons did all of this killing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're both Jacob's sons and Dinah's brothers. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Now I'm proud to wear Levi's. What a cool name.
You're going to start a new clothing company called Simon and Levi. Actually, that could be Simeon. I think Simeon and Levi.
Simon's good though, too, though. You know.
Well, I know I'm going to call Levi Horn and be like, hey, did you know where your name is first mentioned in the Bible, man? Look at murdering some circumcised. I like that they also let them roll around in pain for three whole days before.
And then they came in and killed him.
Like, this is a great prank, bro.
Yeah, like, is this the first biblical prank that we have?
Yeah, I think we call it a social experiment.
Well, there were...
Because they totally punked these dudes.
Yeah.
There were many pranks before. Jacob did some punking of his brother and his father, for sure. By tricking his father into thinking he was his brother by wearing a lambskin.
That's a classic. Who hasn't done that one?
Yeah. There were all the wife swaps from Abraham. Yeah. Abraham did a bunch of, he did multiple wife swaps.
Yeah, he just kept convincing people that his wife was actually his sister and then giving his wife two other kings to take as their wives and then being like, gotcha, she's actually my wife. You're disgraced.
This is all to say that the Bible has in the past stick to good-natured ribbing. And then now the jokes are bloody.
It's gone. Oh, boy. We've crossed the Rubicon here. This is next level stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it gets worse, Adam.
Verse 26. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword. I like that. Put him to the sword. And took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city. And out in the fields, they carried all of their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have brought trouble on me by making me obnoxious to the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed. But they replied, should he have treated our sister like a prostitute?
Excellent question. I think that's what we should really get to the bottom of here, gentlemen. Well, was this an overreaction, or was the circumcision prank and the slaughter and looting and murder justified?
Well, it's interesting, too, because I didn't realize they just let Dinah be stuck. I guess because they circumcised all the men, we can assume that she wasn't further abused during this time period.
Right.
Or at least hope.
Right.
But also, that's not how you treat prostitutes either, guys.
Mm-mm.
That's,
how do you treat them, Adam?
With respect, goddammit.
Respect and kindness and an 18% gratuity.
And also probably with shame about yourself.
A healthy probably amount, I would imagine, yeah.
Treat them with lots of apologies.
Mm-hmm. But this is crazy because they just got to this place. In this family line, because if you remember, we're still essentially in the same family line as Abraham. Our first or he was like the second or third good boy of God.
The only thing I know about Abraham was that he had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham.
Oh, yeah.
I am one of them, and so are you.
So are you.
And let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. And you do the hokey pokey to Father Abraham.
Simon and Levi are two of those sons.
Of course they are. Yeah.
But this family has a track record of coming into a city and then just like blowing it up.
Hang on. This is going to be bad.
Did we lose Adam?
It looks like we lost Adam.
We lost Adam.
Oh, no.
It was just you.
Don't worry.
He'll come back, though.
There he is.
I'm still here.
All right.
So the track record.
I added a clap there so we know where the edit is. So just look to my track when you edit this one, Adam.
Okay. Wait, no, I probably mine. Won't. By this point, our listener retention is one person.
Yeah.
So sorry. Sorry, dude.
Sorry, Paulette.
Hey, a message to you, Paulette. We're sorry for the lack of professionalism here, but you know what? We appreciate you listening. Tell your friends.
I'm also sorry. I'm a terrible person and boyfriend.
There's a lot of other things to apologize for.
Sorry, I always leave my toothbrush out.
Especially with all that poop on it.
You're pooping on your toothbrush?
Why?
No, I'm just using it to clean my butthole.
I think this should definitely
stay in. I'm
sorry
for this mostly. This is mostly what I'm sorry for.
I had to tell somebody about this stupid podcast at work one day, or I was telling them about it, and then I wanted to be like, the reason why we can't advertise this podcast is not because we're being rude about the Bible. It's just like we talk about the Bible, but then say silly, stupid things, and people will just take offense to that. It's just like,
fuck them.
They're not even smart. yeah, but anyways, what I was saying is, yeah, this family really, every time they move to a city, they pretty much have to move out the next week. But now he's like, I'm going to have a war with the, you know, Pezanites or whatever they are. Perizzites.
Perizzites.
The Perizzites.
Well, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to add to this story aside from various shades of what? So I guess we should just rate this thing.
Yeah, give us some summations.
On a scale of 1 to 5 stars, I feel bad giving this chapter a super high rating because it's real, real fucked up. But on the other hand, it's
this thing is a banger.
It's very
dude.
Entertaining. It's yeah. very entertaining. If you could get over the violence of it. And I mean, come on, I have never heard a better revenge story than we're going to cut off some of your pee-pee skin, let you sit in that for a while, and then we're just going to come in and murder you, like just destroy your entire town.
Yeah, it's pretty vengeful.
So I'm going to give it a 4.0.
Ooh, 4.0. That's pretty high score there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll reconsider it when I'm burning in hell.
Daniel, what's your rating? I want to hear the host before I weigh in.
I'm with Adam. I think this is really, we get excited because there's a lot of like every story is very different, every chapter is very different, but a lot of times it's just fun, goofy little things, and we get excited when things get changed up. So I agree with Adam. I think that this is a fun one. It's interesting. It gets bloody. I love, and you know, it just makes me hungry for, like, I know there's some wars that are going to happen probably years down the road for this podcast. There are some war. This is like the beginning of war. I feel like a war will happen from this. And I can't wait because I love, and also there's been a whole lot of like sad, this is a sad story, but stories where people just get rewarded for bad behavior, and then a time where someone gets their comeuppance. That's kind of nice. So I'm gonna go ahead and give it a
3.5. 3.5. Okay.
3.5.
That's pretty good. So we got a 3.5. Adam, you were a 4, right?
4.0.
4.0.
Yeah.
I'm giving it room to grow.
I mean, you know, I'm coming in hot at a 5. I'm gonna tell you right
nice.
Now. It's immediately a 5 for me. Like I said, I hadn't picked up the Bible in 10 years. And the first thing that I read coming back to the Bible is, right off the bat, rape, not great. But the revenge story of, okay, yeah, we're going to barter with you. Let's make a deal. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to make you cut your dicks up, and then we're going to come in and murder your asses 3 days later. I was like, I do not remember this from the Bible. This shit is hot. When is this movie coming out? This is amazing. This is the best Bible story I have ever read.
This is There's so no good. Like golden book kids version of
no,
this.
No, like, this is not in the picture Bibles that we had as children. This is amazing. No, this was 100%. I was like, all right, I'll pick up the Bible. I'll do this Bible podcast. You know, I hope it's not just a bunch of names who beget. No, no letdown here. This was a banger. Totally amazing. 5 out of 5.
Well, Brady, I can almost promise you that you will be let down by one of our next two chapters that I hope you will stick around for.
Oh, you know I will. I'm here for all of it.
But I respect you coming in at a 5. I do like it. I think the only thing that could have made it better for me, and maybe not better, is if the description would have been less matter of fact. I do. Yeah. I really like, aside from put them to the sword, right, which is right. I still like that phrase. Yeah. Everything's just like, and then they murdered everyone.
Right. But, here's my, because I was poking around the like online Bible study where they were trying to be like, how do we justify this story of the Bible?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, the rape admittedly was not wise, but he had like love in his soul, even if it wasn't godly biblical love. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, but still, even though he did that, there was no reason for them to go and deceive and murder. I'm like, I feel like there kind of was.
Yeah.
I think it was justified. But I feel like we're not supposed to think that, right?
Since you brought it up, Brady, I'm going to do something that is a theme in this show. And really, I should have prepared this beforehand. But I'm going to read what the Quest Bible has to say
Quest
about
Bible.
This.
We should have, there should be theme music for when you go to the Quest Bible.
When I go to the
Quest Bible. That's a good idea,
Brady. There should
Brady.
Be like a little jingle for the Quest Bible.
Quest Bible.
Yeah, definitely.
Quest Bible, Quest Bible. Hey, Quest Bible, ho! You know,
I'm gonna chop that up, and that will be our...
We should have guests more often, Adam, because it's kind of nice hearing someone who doesn't just want to quit doing the podcast.
Guys, I'm happy to get in on this. I'm telling you.
I think maybe, Daniel, we should just hand the podcast over to Brady.
Have him do it for us.
And enjoy a good podcast.
Yeah. All right, so the Quest Bible says... they also have a question that did circumcision mean nothing to these pagans? But I don't really care about that question. The more important one is why kill?
That's how it's phrased. Did circumcision mean nothing to these pagans? Is it supposed to mean something?
I guess maybe we're supposed to just know that those people were pagans. But the Bible. This is the problem. The Quest Bible talks about things that are not brought up in the Bible. I like sticking to the canon.
All right.
But
fire it off then.
It says, why kill all the men in the city? And it says, if Jacob's sons had killed all of Shechem's, killed only Shechem, the men of the city would have come after them for revenge. Also, in that culture, entire communities were held responsible for one person's wrongdoing, especially if the offense was not condemned by the guilty party's leaders. In this case, the Hivite leaders, rather than offering amends, planned to take advantage of Jacob's clan.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Hamor had to fall.
Yeah.
That was a good land.
Hamor had to fall. Oh, here's another great one. Had Shechem been holding Dinah against her will? It was a question we asked. It says, because Shechem had violated Dinah, she was considered unavailable to anyone but him.
Oh.
The proper, though humiliating, response was for Dinah to stay in Shechem's tent until the marriage ceremony was held. Though Shechem tried to win her love, there's no indication that Dinah had any romantic interest in the man who had violated her.
He tried to win her love is how they phrase that?
Yeah. I guess.
Quest Bible, ho!
This is also, this is a quest, how the Quest Bible likes to talk about things.
Sure.
Oh boy.
Tried to win
well,
her love.
That was a doozy, fellers.
No.
Brady, will you join us next time for chapter 35?
Oh, I would love to.
Well, excellent. Everybody, get ready for that. I don't know what happens in it. I didn't read that one.
But... it's going to be as exciting for me, too.
All right, everybody. Please be safe out there. Check us out at HostedPod on Instagram. Email your complaints to hostedpod@gmail.com. And check out twitch.tv/hostedpod. And we'll see you next time on Reading Heathens.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Amazing.